400,000 of our men and women were killed during World War II. In addition, 600,000 more were injured, and that doesn't even speak of the ones who were mentally incapacitated from that time forward. There were 6 million Jews who were killed in the concentration camps throughout the countries, and 5 million more other people who were killed because of Nazism. All told, there were 24 million people who died as a result of World War II. I can't even wrap my mind around those numbers. I can understand the 400,000 to 600,000, but I can't wrap my mind around the millions of people who lost their lives. And I say this not just to bring facts out, but I say this to ask the simple question, how important is it for us to remember? A wise man once said that those things that we do not remember, we will repeat. This country, on July the 4th, this year will be 247 years old. Counting the Revolutionary War that we fought for our independence, we have been in 13 major conflicts. And as I say that, each one of these conflicts is not just a day. It is a continuing process. And even to this day, as we said in this place, we find that we are a nation in conflict. We are at odds with almost the entire world. And as we think about the prices and the reasons that we have been in conflict, almost all of them, very few of them, were directly dealing with the concept of freedom. A few did not. But most of them dealt with the concept of freedom. Our ability to do as we please. It astounds me, in fact, it angers me to think that the blood, the human blood of men and women who served on our battlefields gave people the right to burn our flag. It angers me to think that men and women who endured hell on earth gave people who hate America the right to demonstrate against America. It angers me. And the question that resonates within me is why? Why would anyone sacrifice for ungrateful people? And I know as I say this, that doesn't include probably us. It probably doesn't include a lot of the people that we know. But then on the other hand, it may include some people that we know. Because that's the case in my family. The politicians' history paints the wars that we have fought, the conflicts that we have been in, if you can call any war conflict, because the bullets are the same, the bombs are the same, the tactics are the same. Death is real. I don't care what you call it, war, conflict, whatever, it's real. Danger is real. The fear is real. The horror is real. But the politicians paint all this as patriotism. They paint it as a struggle for freedom. Well, I want to suggest this morning that those are nice pictures to paint on a canvas that so rapidly disappears. I think we fight for a more basic reason. I don't know about you, but in my home there were three daughters. And I think that there's not much that I would do to this very day for any one of those three girls and their families. And you can call it whatever you want. You can paint that whatever, however you want. But the bottom line is I just love my girls. And many of the young men and women who were in World War I and World War II were invited by their friends and neighbors to be a part of that great endeavor. They didn't volunteer to be there. Most of them didn't sign up to be there, but they were called to be there. They had no idea, the friends and neighbors especially, had no idea what we were calling our young men and women to do. And many of them did not return. Many of them will never be the same. Many of them, their minds are gone forever. War is not a temporary thing. We have dates that mark the beginning and the end of conflict. But it lives on in the lives of the people that have had to endure the atrocities and the horrors of those events. And I do wonder, as God looks down upon this earth and sees the evil that men can do to each other, and then ramp it up and glorify it and thump their chests as they pronounce an act of war, what does God think? You know, the real valiance that we see, the real heroism that we see, is not in the wisdom of a politician, if we can even define a politician as wise. It's not in a government that forgets about those who have given their life, many their meaningful life, in the service of a country. And they pull out all the loopholes and all the reasons why they're not entitled to the help that they were promised. This is not intended to be a political sermon, but I am not proud of our government. I love our country. I love her people. Imperfect people. People I don't agree with. People that I adamantly disagree with. But I love our country. I'm ashamed of our politics, and that rings true throughout the world. Because politicians, for the most part, are self-centered, greedy, and care very little about anyone else. Now I'm going to talk about the greatest leader of all time. Of course, you know who that is. That's God. God has called us into a conflict that is even more important, even more long-lasting, even more the outcome being more important than any conflict that humanity has ever entered into. But he's called each one of his soldiers into that conflict. Because what's at stake is an eternal life that is forever, that all of us are missing without his son, Jesus Christ. There's a great hymn that is written in the songbook, Onward, Christian Soldiers, and I never appreciated that very much, because I never saw the army of God being a bunch of soldiers going out and killing everybody. But I do like the idea that the church is a mighty army of love and compassion that reaches out in ways that are unthinkable to man to share the goodness of that great Redeemer King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout the pages of his holy word, the Bible, countless times we are told that we should remember. In fact, in the book of Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, there was a thing called the Passover, and we all know about the Passover. If we don't know about it, we should read it, because this represents our Passover. That God told Moses that we are to ever remember for all generations the Passover. And they're to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, from the 14th to the 21st day. They're to eat no leavened bread. There's to be no leaven even in the house. And they go through ceremonies getting rid of the leaven. And if they do eat it, they're cut off from their community. But Jesus, or God, said to do this as a perpetual celebration every year, so that you will remember. And in that passage of Scripture, it says, when your children ask, why do we do these things? You're to answer to them, this is the Lord's Passover, that he spared the Israelite people as he destroyed the firstborn of the Egyptians. Do this every year so that you will remember. In that same festival, there is a time called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the unleavened bread, of course, was the removing of the leaven. And that became one of the three Jewish holidays or celebrations where the male was to present himself before the Lord at the temple. When young Joshua took over from Moses, and they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River, God told Joshua to have a man from each tribe to go down into the middle of the river ahead of the Ark of the Covenant and pick up a stone and to carry it to the place where they were to camp, and they were to erect an altar there. And so they did that, and before the Ark of the Covenant went into the water, the waters of the Jordan stacked up and piled up for miles. I can't even imagine that picture. And the statement was, when your children ask, tell them that this is where the Jordan River was parted in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And these remain as a memorials to that day. Now, I don't know what day they're talking about, but it was a memorial that when the children saw it and they asked the question, the answer was, God did this. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, the text we have for today, Paul writes, he says, what the Lord has given to me, I pass on to you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and said, this is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Why? Why do we have annual celebrations where we remember? Why do we have Memorial Day? Why do we have Veterans Day? Why do we have Christmas? Why do we have Thanksgiving? Why do we have communion? Why do we remember the mighty acts that God has done? It's because we're short-sighted. We all have amnesia. We can't remember the past. And again, as the wise writer says, what we do not remember, we will repeat. And so God lays out a landmark for us so that we might remember his goodness, his faithfulness, and what he has done for us. The story of the Exodus is an incredible story of God's faithfulness and our whining. It seems like a week out of Egypt, when they left Egypt singing and dancing and filled with joy, rich and fat and well-fed, and they're going out there, they're free. The freedom song. And about a week later, they're backed up against the Red Sea and they're crying and said, oh, you brought us out here to get us killed, Moses. We wish we could go back to Egypt. And the command was never go back to Egypt. Don't go back. And the first thing that they thought of when they came into trouble was, I want to go back. But you know, that's not just the Israelites, is it? Because if we don't remember the bad times in our life, If we don't remember the salvation that God has brought to us and we forget about that, we will digress to the place where we came from before the redemption of our souls. Moses parted the Red Sea by the power of God. And I don't know if you can imagine what a wall of water looks like on both sides of you and the courage to walk through that wall of water. You know, I'm one of these guys that worries about stuff. And I'd worry that maybe that wall of water would give way and I'd be right in the middle of it. I can't imagine what that experience was like. And I'll bet to those who crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, they would never forget it, right? It wasn't very long till they'd forgotten it because they got thirsty. This is about, 10 days later, they got thirsty. And they began to ask the very question, is God even with us? Now, he was going ahead of them as a pillar of fire and a cloud. And the angel of God was with them. There were three entities there. And they asked the question, because they were thirsty, is God really with us? So what do we expect out of God? I think this is very telling, isn't it? That as long as I'm hydrated, as long as I'm fed, as long as I'm clothed, as long as I have entertainment, as long as I have... God is good. God's good. But the reasons that we attach to that are false reasons, aren't they? Was God faithful to his people when their backs were against the Red Sea? Yes. And was he faithful before he parted it? Yes, he was. When they were thirsty, was God faithful to them? Was he faithful to them before they got thirsty? Was he faithful to them in the question, is God really with us? And how do we know that? Because he provided water for them to drink. Now, crossing the Red Sea on dry ground is pretty remarkable. I'd never forget that. If I was thirsty and God made water gush out of a rock, I'd never forget that. But we did. And pretty soon they were hungry. And they were griping and crying about going back. And I say that because it's so us. It's so me. They were griping and complaining because they wanted to go back to Egypt. He says, we were slaves there and we had to work really hard, but at least our bellies were full. Was God faithful to them before they got hungry? Was God faithful to them while they were hungry? And God proved his faithfulness by bringing manna for them to eat. And not only did he bring manna, because they cried out for meat as well, he brought quail. I have a friend that has a few quail mates. And at this point, he has over 400 little quail. I would say that was a deluge of quail. And God brought this deluge of quail upon the Israelites. All they could eat and all they could do was gripe and complain. Why? Because they forgot. They forgot the obvious. Is God obvious today? I think he's as obvious today as he ever was at any time in any age. Do we serve God as we should? Do we honor God as we should? Are we in awe of God as we assemble together to worship? And why is it that we are not the things that God has called us to be? Number one, we have forgotten who we are. And most important, we have forgotten who God is and will always be. As we look back on the pages of our history, there's not a one of us who would want to go back to the pre-Revolutionary War period to be a slave or to belong under the dictatorship of a foreign country. But I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of our wars were not fought for the very concept of freedom. They were fought so that we could maintain. And by that I mean we've taken our trust away from God and we placed it in the hands of men who are unfaithful, who are forgetting. I don't know if any of you follow what's going on in our schools today, especially in Illinois, California, New York. You know what one great subject they're trying to take out of school? History. And why? Because what we don't know, we will repeat. And if we forget on a Memorial Day, if we forget the great price, the great sacrifice, the untold selflessness of millions of men and women who did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, then we will repeat the things. And you know who we become when we forget who God is? We become those horrible, horrible people who do all these terrible, terrible things for themselves. And the astounding thing that I find in these pages of Scripture, that buried within the very concept of God's faithfulness to people who didn't deserve it, is this attitude of redemption. That your yesterday does not have to be what your today is. That who you are yesterday, the mistakes you made yesterday, do not have to define the rest of your existence. When Jesus, and if we ever had a memorial, we ought to make a memorial to this. When Jesus comes into the life of an individual, no matter how dark his heart may have been, no matter how vile that person might have been or might be, when God washes that heart and cleans that heart and fills it with his Holy Spirit, it is a new life. There is no yesterday. You know, our remembrance, our reminders are so misplaced in our world today. Because I remember who I was yesterday. And yesterday I didn't deserve what God has done for me. But in repentance and in his redemption, yesterday didn't happen in God's mind. But we remember those days because they are benchmarks and landmarks so that we don't have to go down those paths again. As we think of the important things in life, the things that we should remember, the most important thing for us to remember is that we have a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. We have a God who offers redemption to us no matter who we are, no matter where we've been. We have a God who washes the slate clean, heals us, and makes us whole. As we go back to the battlefields of our men and women, there are times that they felt alone. There are times that they felt it was hopeless. There are times that they knew nothing but hunger, coldness, and fear. That's the picture that we live in as human beings. But God changes that picture to where we sit in this room today, filled with hope, filled with comfort, assured that we have a God who is faithful. So today, as I remember, the most important thing I'm going to remember is that God is faithful. That in God, we have everything that we need. I want to close with this true story. He is an uncle of mine, served in World War II. Would never talk about his battle experience because, as he put in his own words, I had to do things to people that are entirely out of the character of who I am. But he was awarded a medal for attacking a machine gun nest and taking it out. And of course, he became an immediate hero to his comrades. And as the Thanksgiving table, I'll never forget it, with tears rolling down his eyes, he says, "I did it because if I didn't, we were all going to die. And I love those guys that I fought with. I did it for them." I can't think of a better picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. "I did it for them."